From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. In film industry news, award season kicked off yesterday when the Golden Globe nominations were announced. Several Georgia-based productions are in the running. The list came out as a Boycott Georgia hashtag is being used by some film industry insiders, some to protest the election of Brian Kemp. Others say they're concerned about the religious freedom bill the governor-elect expressed support for on the campaign trail. Opponents say the proposed legislation would discriminate against the LGBTQ community. Kalina Buller is host of GPB's The Credits podcast and here to fill us in on some of the on these topics. Hello, Kalina.
Good morning.
Good morning. So freedom of religion, protected by the Bill of Rights, generally not a hot button issue. So why is this Georgia's latest religious liberty legislation so controversial?
Well, it's like many other bills of its kind, there's a concern that it can discriminate against people who they choose to love or marry or want to be with or sleep with. Mm-hmm. And I think that most people just want to be able to work and to have their work speak for itself. And I think that that's not something that Georgians nowadays generally are willing to accept. And I think that the overall panic from that has died down a bit. Of course, there's still some skeptics, quite a few that I have that I work with. But we'll see. Kemp has been saying some really good things recently that, you know, make people feel a little more at ease, such as he wants to sign something that it mirrors exactly what President Bill Clinton signed. Anything else he's willing to veto, which that is great. We hear the word veto on a religious liberty bill, that makes us feel happy.
That's something that you all think about in your business. But how big is this groundswell? Who's already taken part on the boycott? And what are they saying?
Right. So you have actress Alyssa Milano has mentioned something. Frank Rich. Also, the gentleman, Ron Perlman, who from Hellboy, right?
Mm-hmm, the actor.
Yeah, that's right, the actor. So he's been saying stuff on Twitter like, if you... you know, if you'd bother to shoot anything in Georgia, don't call me. Mm. Network executives. That's just not something you want to hear from Hollywood higher ups. But I will say that right now, it's looking pretty good for 2019. We're not terribly concerned. But there's always that kind of a chip on our shoulder. Like, well, we just don't know until something is vetoed.
Right. I guess it recalls back to the 2016 Disney and Marvel threatened to pull out of Georgia if a religious liberty bill at that time became law. Since then, we've seen hundreds and millions of dollars of investment. Pinewood Studios is built here, the Georgia mm-hmm. Film Academy. Can Disney, Marvel, and other production companies still really stand behind those threats to leave Georgia at this point?
I mean, anybody can stand behind anything. I will say, though, that with the amount of infrastructure that we have invested in the industry and in the people here in Georgia, we're willing to go to work. And we have a track record that has proven that we can, you know, make your blockbusters and we can make them happen. And we could actually have many of those shows and movies get nods for award season.
So. Nice segue there. We did get the announcements yesterday of the Golden Globe nominations. What's the big news for Georgia?
All right. So it turns out that Ozark is going
what's not to love.
Right. We've got Sharp Objects, which
oh, the HBO series.
That's right. That was actually really fantastic. It's one of my favorites.
I have to agree. Amy Adams was absolutely stellar in that, and I'm glad to see she got a nomination.
Yes, and for me, the thing that just got me right in the heartstrings was Black Panther being nominated for Best Motion Picture,
yeah.
Which I think people are just floored about, which is amazing. Of course, it's Georgia filmed, so, I mean, bragging rights, hello.
Already the third highest grossing movie of all time in the U.S., so a big deal for them. But how about for snubs? There was another fantastic season of Atlanta, but no love.
I know. So upsetting.
All right, but a little love. Donald Glover.
Right, of course, Donald Glover, who, you know, always going to come through for us, right? But I will say that I think that the Hollywood Foreign Press may have missed out on opportunities here to really talk about, you're talking about inclusion, talking about diversity during awards season. Atlanta was one of those shows that showed a viewpoint that was a little bit different than what we usually see coming out of Hollywood. And I think that, you know, that was a snub. That was snub, rather. That was very disappointing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens going forward.
Supporting actress, he got nominated, but some terrific work by Brian Tyree Henry on that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so while we have you here, I really do want to ask you about a recent episode of your podcast, The Credits. You sat down with Elizabeth Davidovich. She worked on AMC's The Walking Dead, a stunt double for Winona Ryder on Netflix's Stranger Things. Here is a little bit of her speaking with you about equal opportunity in the industry.
The film industry is already pretty male-dominated.
Of course.
And I'm not playing the victim role at all. Yeah. It's a matter of opportunity, really. So there, in the stunt department especially, it's very, very male dominated because of the amount of opportunities available. 90% of the jobs on camera are for stunt men, whether it's soldiers or thugs, gang members, you know, you name it. But usually
the actors hired are mostly men, I'm assuming.
Sure. Well, yeah. Most of the nondescript jobs are for guys.
Right.
It's not a matter of, you know, oh, poor me, it's, you know, the men are out to get us. It's nothing like that.
Of course
it's so. I like to think of it, it's almost as if I'm trying to play on a professional football team.
Okay.
So yeah. There's just not a lot of opportunities for women. And because there's fewer opportunities, there's fewer women that can actually survive having a career in that department. Roughly, and this is just based on my own personal experience, roughly one out of every 10 jobs is for a female. And then those 10%, you have to be the right ethnicity, you have to be the right height, you have to have the right skill set. So statistically speaking, it's just it's a numbers game, really.
That's true. You mentioned that most of the jobs that you've received in stunt work have been day player positions. That's great, because if you're doing day player positions and you're able to create a space like this that we're sitting in right now, I am floored by how beautiful this gym is.
I appreciate that.
I'm looking around and it's so much space. You got all the mats here. It immediately reminded me of, I took gymnastics for like a minute at like 10 years old. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm back on the tumble mat. And I'm seeing, you know, the weaponry on the wall, and I'm seeing, you know, headshots of other stunt people. And I'm seeing books, like you have a library.
Yeah.
It's beautiful in here.
Thank you so much.
It makes me want to do some research, and as much as it makes me want to do a few cartwheels.
Well, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, because my goal for this space specifically was to, I call it an idea incubator. It's not just a training facility. Mm. It's a place to be inspired. So I like to hang artwork, and I like to make it colorful, and I always have music playing. And I like to have, you know, the weapons available and all sorts of interesting props as well, because I like for people to come in and I like to see the light turn on in their eyes and say, you know what would be a great idea? That's one of my favorite things to hear.
Yeah.
So I also built this place not just for stunt people, but I was a part of a collective called Studio Outpost for a while. It was an unofficial collective of writers, producers, directors. It's basically just me and my friends. But my friends are incredibly talented people. That's like, most of these posters are films that my friends have made. And so we've sort of come up in the industry together. We used to have an office in East Atlanta, right in the heart of East Atlanta, where we had a group of offices and a conference room where we would just get together on a regular basis, like daily. That was our 9-to-5.
Right.
We would show up. I didn't have an actual room. I just sat at the conference table. But in being in proximity to one another, when Dan Bush goes to go get a cup of coffee, he walks by. He's like, hey, Liz, so I have this idea for a monster. And we sit down, engage in conversation, and these ideas would come up. Next thing I know, a few years later, we're making the film.
Right.
So being in close proximity to one another, bouncing ideas off one another, it was a very devastating thing to have that space taken away from us.
Right.
So my immediate reaction was, well, I've been wanting to create a physical facility to attach to the Studio Outpost Collective for a long time anyway. So when I started building this place, I purposefully carved out an area that was for the writers, for the directors. This area is, you know, this is for all of our education. So it's not just nutritional books. It's not just movie making books. It's not just budgeting. Right. But there's, you know, what a producer does and, you know, how to adapt a screenplay. So
right.
anything and everything that might be relevant to our industry, I try to put all in under one roof.
That is Kalina Buller speaking with stuntwoman Elizabeth Davidovich for Kalina's podcast, The Credits. And you can hear more of the episode at our website, gppnews.org. Kalina, so we heard a little bit about the marketplace, the cross-pollination of ideas there, but we also heard the term day players. What does that mean?
So a day player is somebody who is hired specifically for a day or two or three to fill a very specific need for the project.
Okay, so this is somebody, would they have
to
be?
In any department.
All right.
Yes.
So it could be on the crew. It could be somebody who works with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It could be someone in locations. It could be someone in lighting. It could be somebody in the production office. It's usually somebody who we say, you know what, our regular person may be out today, or we have additional work that needs to be done. We need an additional hand.
So you spoke with Elizabeth about the dangers of stunt coordinators on set. What did you learn about safety concerns?
Well, one thing I've learned talking with her, I realized, like she said, if you don't have a community of people around you who are there to generally nurture you, it can be very difficult to navigate the real dangers of working on a live location and on set, even on stage. And it's very important to have not only friends in the industry, but right. it's also very important to have a collective of people that essentially watch each other's backs and make sure that we're doing everything safely. And any of the jobs that we do are finite. There's only but so much time to creative production. And so everybody is giving 120 million percent. And sometimes those efforts can, you know, become overzealous, and then you can go overboard with what you do. And that happened with me in my case when I was a production assistant mm-hmm. years ago. I passed out from exhaustion.
Wow.
Because I said, you know what, I have to keep going. I have to go. But I didn't have a collective like the Georgia Film Academy that I could, you know, learn generally how to manage my time well and things like that. I was just thrown in and I was trying to navigate my way. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of young people who are very, very driven, but people that are just starting out in their career can fall to that. Mm-hmm. And even seasoned people who are concerned about where their next paycheck will come from, they say, you know what? I really want to make a very good impression. And then when that starts happening, accidents, unfortunately, can happen. I know over the years that we are making improvements to safety. And so, you know, it's one of the things that we're constantly striving to have a better, safer set on every set that happens, you know?
Well, I'm so glad to hear you're doing it more safely, and really thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Kalina Buller, she's host of GPB's The Credits podcast, and you can catch episodes from the podcast at our website, gppnews.org. Subscribe, rate it. Pass it around. Just ahead, the archives of a small town photography studio present decades of unpolished images of a rural southern town. This is On Second Thought.